What is going on, All Terrain Nation? Today is Midsize Trucks show, and normally these are Saturdays, but I seen Tim do one last week, and I was like, man, those numbers look really, really good, Tim, and I want some of that action, dude. What is going on, buddy?
Hey, this is my fishing hole, buddy. Get your butt somewhere else.
Hey, this lake's big enough for both of us. Come on.
It is not. It's a load of crud. I'm going to tell you, Dave, I got to set the stage. You got me for about an hour.
That's fine.
That's all fine. I got, man. I tell you what, my son
only gets me for about 30 seconds at a time, so we're good. Right?
My sons were home today, and we went to the grocery store. Then my youngest son wanted to play golf, and then he's like, nice. Are you going to play golf with your friends, right, Dad? Your friends want to play, right? You can play golf with them. I'm like, all right. So I played 27 today, and my face is beet red, and I'm tired. And Mary Kleiner's calling my name, and I was like, and I held down a 40-pound bag of salt for my neighbor and help him fill up his salt bin too for his water softener. So
you're feeling salty is what it sounds like.
I'd be a little tired tonight. I thought you would be a little tired. But yeah, this old man worked his butt off today. Holy cow!
Well, good job to you, man. You know what I did?
Coldish wind out there.
I sat right here all day. I either played video games or I was trying to research something, and I didn't do crap today, and it felt great.
Well, I did more than that. I did a lot of stuff. So anyways, I got about an hour. That's all I got. So we're talking Ford one tons.
No, this was Tesla hour, Tim. This was the Tesla hour.
Sorry, Tesla hour. I forgot about that.
Yeah, we're going to talk some trucks because you've been in an interesting truck that I have a lot of passion and interest about. So I'm definitely going to pick your brain. I know there's only so much you can say. So guys, load your questions up since Tim only has an hour. But guess what? There's a lot of things he can't answer till Tuesday. What is it? Next Tuesday and then next Thursday, something like that.
Right. So driving impressions are under embargo, which means I can't talk about how it drove. I can't really talk about the power delivery. I can't talk anything about the engines. The regular Ford Ranger is under embargo till Tuesday morning, and the Ranger Raptor is till Thursday morning. And the idea behind that is to give everybody a fair shake. Yeah. All the media outlets get a fair shake. I understand it. So we're all right now. People that are at the event are basically posting walkarounds. I'm posting a pretty good walkaround tomorrow of basically just the Ford team talking about the truck. I literally hit record and started talking, and I was like, you know what? You guys want to hear what I hear? Here you go.
Nice. Well, you could do like I had done to me at an event one time. Dude just shoved the camera in my face and just was like, talk. And I was like, okay. what do you want to talk about?
So that's going to come out. That's going to come out tomorrow. And then Sunday, I have a Ram Rebel video I have got to put out. I've been dragging my feet on this for a couple weeks.
Well, so, I'm definitely interested in your Ram takes because I know you have one coming. Of course, that's a big truck, and I'm sure you'll discuss that.
Salt Lake City, and what I think is fascinating for the audience to understand is we had different waves of journalists. Like, mm-hmm. you know, people came in like Sunday through Wednesday and whatever the deal was. And you can tell who was on which wave because it snowed for the second wave.
So I know I saw
snow.
That.
That's a later wave, people.
Well, your video, you guys were definitely killing me because I did not get invited. The one press trip, and I told you this privately, but I'd been working towards this press trip for a while, and I didn't push buttons, and I probably could have with Ford Communications, maybe push that button. But I was like, I want to, you know what it's like. You want to be invited. You don't want to be like, I forced my way into that. And but I'm totally jealous of it, for one, because Salt Lake City is probably one of my favorite places to ever be. I love Utah. Utah is probably where I'll end up retiring. And two, you're driving what probably is going to be my favorite midsize truck right now, which was the Ford Ranger. And I even watched my own videos today, Tim, because I was like, F these guys. I'll give myself a view and I'll check this out. But you covered a couple things that you put on your social medias that I'll be interested to bring up here in a few minutes. But overall, looks like you it was a little gloomy out, the trip was not as sunny as I think probably Ford would have hoped, because there's some of those colors like that shelter green that I got would pop in that sun, man. So overall, what was your impression of the colors of these vehicles? Because you did a short on that.
Yeah, I did a short like walking by the colors. I thought I'm always a sucker for blue, right? And I was standing next to Allison, who's from she buys cars. And I was talking about which color you like, and Allison hopped up. She goes, "I like this one." And I was like filming it, and I was like, "All right, put that in. You talk, you're fine." I think the palette, when I watch the video again, I think the palette's fairly bland for the stock Ford Ranger. I think the Ranger Raptor's got the shelter green, a little bit cooler colors. But for the stock Ranger lineup, it's pretty bland colors.
Well, you can get, I believe, in the platinum, whatever, the Lariat. I think you can get Shelter Green, or not Shelter Green, but the Azure Gray. But no, you're right. And that's been a, for the Ford lineup for their small trucks here lately, like the Bronco and stuff, just bland colors, man. They, nothing exciting. Toyota brings it. They give you, you know, the solar octane, and whether you like Terra or not, at least it's different in a world of, you know, white, black, and silver. So I was definitely, when we were at the launch, and then I've done a couple build prices on it, I was surprised that they didn't give us a little bit more.
Yeah, I was surprised by that too. I thought it'd be, you know, a little bit more colors. It'd be a little more interesting, but it really wasn't. And I was kind of surprised by that. I was kind of hoping that the colors would be better. But again, it was only after I had walked down the row of colors that really stood out to me. I was like, oh, look at all these different colors.
Yeah, so, you want silver or red?
Yeah. Right. It was just, it was kind of, there you go. I'm showing the video. I just pulled up my YouTube so I can see the comments, make sure I keep up with people. So, I thought that the colors were a little not amazing. I like the blue, the azure, the gray and stuff. There's Allison. She totally hopped in. I was like, all right, that's fine. some of the stuff was like, it's like gray, red, blue. And then what's that blue at the end?
Azure gray.
That's azure gray. Okay.
Yeah.
So
which has metal flake to it. It's not really a flat color.
Okay, well, I just wanted to ask you, because I know you know the Ford Bronco colors better than I do, and the colors better. So I just was like, I thought that's what it was.
Yeah, the blue I always get mixed up with Lightning Blue, and I forget what they call their other blues. But I will say I did see the Lightning Blue at Chicago Auto Show with the Raptor they had there, and that it surprised me how much I actually like that color on that. When me both were at the press launch, they had Azure Gray, and then they had the Shelter Green. I did happen to notice, and I did comment and called you out, called you a nasty name of, you stole the color that I'm getting. I seen you in a Shelter Green Raptor at some point. So, good for you for rubbing it in my nose that, hey, you don't get to drive this vehicle. But, did they have all trims of trucks, or was it just like normal press trips where it's like you get the cool truck and then the next cool truck and that's it?
So what is interesting about this is outside, what the video you're showing now is outside basically a presentation area that was a big tent, a clear tent area. So they had one on display. That's up there. They had some towing stuff, which you guys have probably seen their channels do. I'm going to withhold my towing stuff because I'm not sure it breaks embargo, doesn't break embargo, and I'm not very clear. So I'm going to hold that for a little bit. But they had a towing demo, and I towed with the Ford Ranger. And then what I thought was really interesting was they had a they had a lot of XLTs, majority XLTs. I don't know that I saw a Lariat, to think about that a little more. I don't know. I drove all – so they had 2 days. So first day was standard Ranger. Second day was Ranger Raptor. And I drove, I think, all XLTs from what I can remember, and all 2.3 liter engines. They didn't have a standard 2.7.
Sorry, Tim. Dave in Canada, I love that green. I like obnoxious colors, though. Sorry.
Oh, well, Dave in Canada is always cranky. So
he's nice about it, though, at least.
He's nice cranky. He is.
Canadian.
But yeah, I all XLTs, from what I can tell, all 2.3 liters, no 2.7 liters. And I don't recall a Lariat being around. Somebody may have filmed it, but the trucks I saw were all XLTs. And
I'm surprised they didn't have a 2.7 for you guys to, because I know that's late. It's early summer is what I'm hearing. I don't know if they said, hey, they always just say summer, which could mean 5 months.
All right. But, so Elliot, of course, Elliot watches way too much YouTube and pays too much attention to us. He says he's seen other media outlets with Lariat trims. So I did not get in the Lariat trim. I was only in XLTs.
Well, that's the bread and butter. Let's be honest. The XLT is going to be commercially. That's going to be what everybody wants. I think for the general public, it's going to be the more affordable trim. Hell, even the XL, I was doing a build on one of those the other day. I didn't realize you could get a rear locker in just the XL.
Yeah. I mean, rear locker is optional throughout the entire lineup.
Yeah.
What I think is interesting is they only have they have two digital dashes, and they're like separated by like an inch or two. I want to say 8 and 10, something like that. Mm-hmm. But the big media screen in the middle is like standard.
Yeah.
And what's interesting is like even what I had said or I thought about while I was driving the XLT around. So Joe came in late in the day. I was there early. I got a bunch of driving in before Jill got in, which was great because we had different impressions because she did her own driving and then we met up in the Ranger Raptor. So when you see the videos, that's really what's going on. She just wasn't there. I got there a day early because my travel out Scotts Bluff is just a nightmare. But I was thinking to myself, on the XLT I drove, I think I priced it out with my phone because they didn't have a cord. Ford doesn't like doing pricing on the sheets, which is drives me up a wall.
Which is weird because it's been out for like 6 months.
I know. And they just, I don't know what it's just Ford PR's thing. But I feel like it was like 45 or 46,000 or something like that. And like,
yeah, I know you can get the XL it's an SL XTX because you get the kind of sport package. But I think I priced one right at 40 with the only option I think I did was the rear locker, which was like $420. So yeah, and the XL 45 or so.
Yeah, and Doug's pointing out something I'll bring up in a moment, but yeah, I thought it was pretty affordable. Like in comparison to Tacoma. Yes. I just want to put it out there. Comparison that I like the Tacoma, but you look at look at TFL's Tacoma. They spent 42,000, 44,000, whatever the deal is. I think the Ranger interior blows away the Tacoma at that price point.
Yeah, the Tacoma, which I do like because I like the big truck, which is just a miniature version of the big truck. But in the little truck, it definitely seems overwhelming. All the brakes, all the harshness. It seems cool of the moment, but this is more Ford knows trucks. They know our client base is probably in this one. I would say probably late mid 30s to 65. Not everybody in that range wants, you know, like the heavy metal version of a truck.
Yeah, no, I thought it was. So Doug pointed out, I did a video this today. I did a truck news recap that the dealers are mad. Dealers are mad about Ford quality. And they're mad about unaffordable pricing. And so one of the dealers' quote on Auto News, I think you probably saw this today, autonews.com had a story. His quote was, you know, basically, why has quality gone down and our prices have gone up? And it was pretty. I mean, that was really, you know, right to the point of the matter. And so when I'm driving this Ranger around, I'm thinking to myself, like, this is in comparison. I'm going to be very, very clear on this. In comparison to other vehicles in today's market of inflation and high interest rates, and I understand all this kind of stuff, I thought the Ranger was pretty damn affordable. And I will tell you this. When we saw this truck in May and walked around together in Michigan with this truck, I did not foresee there being a huge audience for the Ranger, to be honest with you, because they had killed it. They had brought it back. It was lukewarm and they brought it back and the fans were kind of lukewarm on it. It just wasn't a big player. But the more I spent time with the Ford Ranger, the more I'm like, hey, hold on a minute. The more it's like, you know what? This is for the content you get, for the pricing you get, for the things, features you get. I'm not hating it. Not that I'm hating it, but it just was really, it surprised me. I was pretty impressed when I left the event. And now understand something. First drive events, you tend to leave, I would say the majority of them, I leave pretty impressed. And then the 7 day week trial, or when I took the Chevy Colorado Trail Boss deer hunting, and I freaking hated it. Right. So, I mean, things do change. Two Explore videos wants to know, how are the largest dash screens at night? Do they play nice and give operators easy controls? Are they a spotlight in your eyes? No, there's nighttime mode. And actually, I hate the daytime mode in Ford. I don't know about you, but the Ford's
bright. It's bright. Yes.
It's very bright. It's very white background. But if you do the nighttime mode, it goes into either a blue.
It's a dark blue.
It's dark blue. On the Ford, definitely, I had a couple years ago, it was dark blue. And every press loan I get for a Ford vehicle, the first thing I do is I change the mode to night mode.
That was our Bronco. I just went ahead and put that infotainment in night mode because you're right. And maybe if you're, you know, a certain vision, that's great. But no, I don't want to be blinded at night by.
Right. You know, nighttime mode is perfect. And they are. Yeah. Your eyes are easy. There's no spotlight in your eyes and you can control the brightness. I think that one of the cool things with technology that I know people, we have more features, more stuff to break, and I get all the stuff, but you do have more customization. You can change the background colors better. You can do things a little bit better that you couldn't do before.
Out of this and Tacoma, though, I will say they both are pretty equal to me as far as the crispness of their screens. Everything's always real. You know, it doesn't look like something from the early 2000s. I will dog Nissan just a little bit because sometimes their technology isn't as, like, I don't know, just never looks as good as what some of those two. But both Toyota and the Ford product right now looks great, man.
I know. I just And I guess, like, go back to my point on price point is that, again, look at that. Look at the Tacoma TFL has got. It's got the smaller screen. It has all the features. They're missing lots of blanks. And for the Ford Ranger, I felt like the XLT, like, man, I was like, I'll drive this son of a bitch home. Like, I was like, I got all the features I need. Like, and the price point's decent. And I, you know, my payment would not be $1,000 a month. You know, I'm like, yeah. this is pretty interesting. I drove the Ford Ranger around for the day, and getting in and out was easy.
Mm-hmm.
My butt didn't hurt.
Good. I like the materials they use now. What they call a cloth seat is not like what I would have known of the 80s of like the material, like you would see cigarette burns and stuff in it. Like this, that was one thing I took away from the Michigan press event was you could slide in and out. It wasn't a rough material. It looks like it's going to hold up really well.
Yeah. And so the walk around video I'm doing tomorrow, from the engineers, marketing and people talking about it. And it's a totally marketing video. When I do the intro for that video, I'm like, these are marketing people. Don't think comments about marketing people. That's what they're doing. They did point out the cloth seats they designed them in a way to be easy to clean, which is counterintuitive. Most people think leather is easier to clean than cloth, which it can be for sure. But this type of cloth they put in, and again, this is a global truck. And so it's been beat up in Australia for a while now and been beat up globally. But I'm a huge fan. And if you haven't experienced this yet, heated cloth seats.
That's something I haven't experienced. Yeah.
Heated cloth seats, because leather heat is fine, but leather burns in the summer, right? Cloth does not burn your backside in the summer, right? It doesn't get that hot. But in the winter, heated cloth seats. Imagine laying on a couch, a cloth couch, and your butt's nice and toasty. That's what it feels like.
Well, it was a little chilly there, so you got to really experience those too, right?
Oh, yeah. I turned it on immediately.
like, great for your back too.
Oh, my goodness. I was fine. Nebraska fine, right? It was 50 degrees, and it was overcast and a little bit of rain at times. I think the hot daytime I was 50. And I was fine walking around, but there's a guy there who was signing out cars, the Rangers. So you go to get a Ranger, they sign you out, they say who's you, whatever they sign to. And the first time I saw this guy was a little bit older, probably nearly 60, and he had his ears were on fire, like they're red, you know, from the morning, right, from all the coldness. And he had just his hair and nothing on, right? And I drove, the drive route was like 35 minutes. I came back, and he had a hoodie, he had a hat on, a stocking cap, and gloves. I was like, looked at him. I said, so are you feeling better with stock cap gloves? He goes, yeah, I had to go buy them. He goes, I was freezing. I'm like, yeah. And they're getting snow. I mean, there was just, the conditions were not ideal.
Yeah. Well, so this is kind of a good question that I'm going to lead into is, why did you hate the Trail Boss? I don't think Tim hated it, but I will say this: Trail Boss versus an XLT, I think the interior, I mean, I kind of like the Chevy design a little better, but overall the interior materials and stuff, I feel like the Ford is going to hold up a lot better than what the Trail Boss has.
Yeah, I think you speak to some things that what I don't like about the Trail Boss was I felt like it was cheap. So driving around for the week, I just found all these little places of extra plastic, or the way the seat cushion was cut and the way things were done. And then I didn't like the ticking noise from direct injection from the hood. And the reason why, I was out deer hunting and I was idling the truck in the morning, warming up before I went to my blind. And like, it sounded like a damn freight train. And so I kept turning it on, turning it off. The headlights would automatically turn on, automatically turn off. I had to go press the button, turn them off. Like, I just was trying to idle the truck and sit there and warm up a little bit and get, you know, get my nerve up to go out there and grab my gun and go sit in the blind. Right. And I'm like trying to just keep warm in the morning. Cause I, you know, I get up at 5:30, get in the truck. I'm driving out there. By the time I get out there, the truck's kind of warm. And so I drove the whole way out kind of freezing to my spot. And so, like, I just wanted to warm up, you know? And then the other thing that bothered me and the thing that I like what Ford has done is there was no lights in the bed. And so I kept all my gear in the second row seats. And then I couldn't turn on the chisel lamp. Chimsel is the right way to say it. There was no chimsel lamp. I didn't want to turn the chimsel lamp on in the bed. TikTok police corrected me on chimsel. So I couldn't want to turn the chimsel lamp on the bed, and there was no LED lights in the bed either. And there's no lights in the back on the second row seat. So I ended up taking a lantern with me, a lantern I got for free for review, which is great. So I took a lantern with me. There I am, like, putting on my boots and crap.
Hey, 1884 called.
1884 called me, and I have a little lantern, right? And it just, I shut the doors and the doors found it sounded tinny and everything. I just was not impressed with it at all. And I think the Z71 is more probably what I would get, but Trail Boss has just disappointed them.
Yeah, I will say definitely Trail Boss because that's a mid-tier vehicle and you know it's not cheap by any means.
Yeah, I expect it better.
Yeah, and I will say out of all of the mid-sized trucks, it seems like Ford's the only one going to offer engine options. Now, granted, you're not initially getting engine options. Well, you can say they have three, but Raptor only gets one and nobody else gets that engine. So really two engine options. Yeah. But that's one of the number one questions I get right now. And I'm sure they didn't tell you any different than summer.
Yeah. And it's a little mystifying because you have a 2.7 and your Bronco.
Yeah, they right? built the engine. It's not right. like it, and right. it's the same. Everything's the same about it. It's just a programming that the Bronco has 15 more horsepower and that's programming.
I almost felt like we're going to have another press drive, which is 2.7. Like I had that thought in my mind and I'm like,
hey, Ford.
Yeah. Right. I don't think they're going to do it, but that was my thought in my mind was it just felt weird. Like it felt like I should be able to drive the 2.3, then drive the 2.7 back to back and be able to compare them. And there was, and I, again, Elliot, who watches more YouTube than I do, pays more attention. I did not see a 2.7 there. And I looked at the spec sheet every time I got in the truck, just because I was curious, because there's no, The difficult problem is there's no badging on the exterior that kind of sets it out to know was 2.3 or 2.7. You kind of just have to grab the sheet, the price sheet, and have to look at that.
They would have definitely pushed like, oh, you're getting to drive the 2.7. They would have had a whole spiel about that too, I think, if they would have had one there.
Oh, my. So let me tell you the story in a John Deere shirt. So John Deere is big in Moline, Illinois. And Estradals have a mortuary there. It's one of the biggest mortuaries in Moline. And so this is kind of, my dad got this at the Moline. There's a John Deere, anytime you're on Moline, it's all John Deere stuff. So yeah, I need a tractor. That's what I really want.
You do for that big yard you have. You can plow the fields, you and your family, like, you know.
Actually, I had a riding lawnmower and I do my yard. Both my yards and then my front and back. And I did the weeds behind by the farmer field and I would do the next door neighbor stuff. And my brother gave me, he's like, you don't need all that stuff. And he gave me a push mower. That's still called a push mower. When the kids are gone, I make the kids mow the grass now, but when the kids are gone, no, dad's getting a lawnmower.
Right. Well, one thing that you saw there and I've brought this up that Ford Australia is doing, and I know there's a reason and you'll go into a why. But this is one of the most innovative features. I brought this up on a live stream a couple months ago, and you didn't realize, I think at the time, oh, that's pretty cool. And how modular and cool this is. But you would talk to, and I know this is just a talking head video, but you had brought up in this video about they make a modular rack. And I want to bring that rack up because it's pretty freaking interesting. So let me
bring it. There's a video you can play with just the rack, and unfortunately I'm not as tech savvy as I need to be, but I couldn't get the video to be inserted in that video I did.
Right. So
I use photos instead.
Yeah, this rack here is so, like, for midsize, this is, I'm surprised more people haven't jumped on this and figured out. Now, I think in your video, you talk about it's a brake light issue, which if you see, I think my mouse is down there. You can see the Australian version has the brake light in the tailgate, which I think is much better than up. I know it's a DOT thing.
So let me give you the full story on this is that we had done the Ranger Raptor drive and I was back at a spot waiting for my shuttle to the hotel. And they were getting a bunch of us together at once. We're riding back in different Ford Expeditions, whatever. And I'm sitting there, and you and I talked about this. And I had a fan of the channel, I think on the forum I have, brought it up to me and said, you need to corner the Ford guys and ask them why this rack can't come to America. And I'm sitting there, and the day's done. My batteries and my cameras are kind of dead. I've filled up my memory. I'm at the event. Post-event, right? So I'm just, I'm ready for the bar. I'm ready to have a drink. That's where my mind is. And I'm thinking, oh, I didn't ask about this question. And sitting across, like literally 15 feet from me, was an Australian Ford engineer. He's from Australia. And I said, hey, real quick, my mind's tired, whatever. I said, what about this rack you have in Australia? And he goes, oh, he said the term flexible rack system, whatever. He goes, yeah. He goes, Me and my team developed that. And I was like, oh, damn. Okay. You and your team developed that. So I pulled them over and we walked. They had a ranger there, or standing there next to it, the one you see on film. And I was like, hey, tell me more about this. And so he's talking about it. And there's several things going on. There's a chimzol, which is the third brake light above the cab. In the United States, it's above the cab. In Australia, it's on the tailgate. And the reason for that, it's illegal to drive your tailgate down in Australia, which I thought was just fascinating, right? Just absolutely fascinating.
They can't haul it?
They can't haul it. No, you cannot drive the tailgate down. And so that's why Ford engineers kind of created this flexible rack system. So you could haul, he goes, yeah, we hear a lot of people hauling canoes, a lot of people hauling like 2x4s. He goes, like a 2x4x8, what are you supposed to do with it? You can't have the bed down.
Yeah, because I know I would call a state, I forget what they call them in Australia, but they all have like their own rules. Like, so right. If you live like near a border of like, it's a nightmare.
Right. So he's like, you know, he goes, we developed this system. And he goes, what's interesting is, and you probably don't know this. And he said that to me, how much work it took to get the system to work, because we had to engineer all this type of stuff. And then we had to figure out like worst case scenario, like somebody puts a bag of cement up there, like, or something, like, well, you know, does it crash or whatever? And then he goes, what's interesting is they have, there's very clear instructions in the owner's manual that talks about you have to use the clips. Like if you go all the way back with that, there's clips built in the bed, I believe, if I recall correctly, again, a long day. The owner's manual says you have to have those clips installed or it'll crash in. Like their big fear is people overloading the thing, it's gonna implode on itself, right?
Yeah.
So they really went through every single angle they have. And that sport rack, flexible rack, goes back and forth. So you can do longer items, bigger items, and there's the two racks on top of the bed, on top of the cab, that actually go side by side. Yeah, scroll down. There's a video. They play a little GIF video or something on it. Yeah, that one right there. Click that one. So you see those bars go turn. Mm-hmm. And then this slides back and forth. And when you get in the far back position, there's something about you have to lock it down or something like that, was he telling me. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, they're talking about, and again, because of Australia. Now, the reason it can't come to the United States is because that chimzol for those TikTok people.
It's the third brake light,
right? So him and I were talking about it, and he and this guy is like a do-it-yourself kind of guy. You guys, you'd love this guy. He's like, well, you know, you could probably do it. He goes, if you could order the parts from the Ford dealer parts desk, okay. He goes, you can probably order it in, right? It would cost you some money on shipping, whatever the shipping is going to be. But he goes, you can probably do that. And he goes, then the problem would be the third brake light and the chimzel lamp. He goes, but you know, if you got and mounted that on the rear part of that flexible system, and you could figure out some sort of retractable wiring system, you could just take that lamp out and mount it to the end piece. And then as long as you have the wiring, he goes, it'd work.
Well, the cool thing about it is the grab handles. You just grab those handles, you squeeze, somebody on the other side squeeze, and you can just move it anywhere you want. But what really got me was, and I can't have it paused here, was the innovation of the roof racks where, you know, that's on normal vehicles, that's a lot of drag.
Right.
For aerodynamics. So, and I mean, we're talking probably 0.5% or something, but still it does add up. And we're in a green world now where everything matters. But the idea of coming up with that's pretty innovative. Like, oh, you just twist those out and they lock in and good to go. Like, that's honestly, that's how they all should be. Even on SUVs, how it should be.
Some genius in the comments when I posted that thing said, it's probably going to a lot of wind noise. You put a damn canoe up there. What do you think the canoe's going to do?
No, that won't. They're silent. They're silencers on those canoes, Tim.
I'm like, you know how you fix wind noise? You just turn up the radio.
Turn up the radio, yes.
It's 100%. Like, he basically sitting there talking about it, and I would have gotten this guy in camera, but he was just a really nice guy, but he's very soft spoken, and I just didn't feel like I could get him really well on camera. So and then I was going to do it as a part of a bigger video and all that kind of stuff, and I thought, you know what, I'm going to do a short TikTok video, if TikTok still exists, Instagram and
TikTok
kind of thing.
Is that a thing?
Yeah. Right. but anyway, so I did that way, and I thought that would work well, because it's not a part of the vehicle that needs reviewing. It's not something they don't have.
But that rack is something that, you know, So people that love trucks.
That was the truck in the video. So I was right in the backside doing a photo of that.
But that rack, to wrap that one up, is that's something that a lot of channels would never picked up on. You know, I know me and you had talked about it, and it would, if I would have been there, that would have been a question that I would have had. So I'm so happy that you got to talk to somebody in the know about it. And it's not speculative. It was the guy that helped design the damn thing.
Yeah. No, I mean, sometimes you're at an event for 2 full days.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's this one little nugget of information you got that nobody else got that you didn't really realize. And I was so lucky. The guy was just sitting there, and we were all just kind of chilling out a little bit, kind of resetting our minds. And he said that, and I was like, oh, okay, let's talk about this. So he was gracious.
Clearly they had a beautiful setup, you know. Mm-hmm. Ford's notorious for in and out. Get you here, you got to see the truck, drive it, now get the hell out of here.
This is the most relaxed Ford trip I've been on. And the last 2 trips have been better with Ford. They're giving us more time to film stuff.
Nice. Hopefully they didn't have any copyright music playing, because that was one beef at the State Fair of Texas was, I was like, their booth, they were blaring country music, which I was like, cool, but you invited content creators there. Like, stop.
It was whisper quiet. And it was like, here, do this, do that, and just go for it. And I was like, okay.
So how impressed were you? Now, once again, you cannot give us driving impressions, so we'll have to wait till next week on that. But how impressed were you with the Raptor? Do you feel like it's like the next level? Like, it wasn't just some badging they did and they just sort of threw some parts on to kind of a money grab. Do you feel like this thing is capable?
Yeah, I think it's definitely, they
spend the money you're spending, you're getting, right?
It's not a sticker package.
Yeah.
No, it's not a sticker package at all.
Good.
Like, the people that think it's a fancier Ford Ranger. Well, those guys are full of it. Like, it's just, they did a really good job making it its own Raptor. If good. I can get in the way, like I kind of thought it was kind of not a joke, but I didn't think much of it. I saw the Shelter Green. We saw the same event. Here's the Ranger Raptor. And you and I were kind of arguing about this at the event. I didn't pay much attention to it because I didn't think it was going to be a big volume seller. I was going to focus on XL, XLT, Lariat. I focused on the vehicles I was going to sell. And I think I'm still right. I think that those XL, XLT will still be the volume sellers. They didn't just slap stickers on it. They really spent a lot of time in development. The guy from Australia, his team really spent a lot of time in development. They beat the snot out of the damn thing. They tried to do everything they could to make it ready for market. Is there going to be a problem? Yes. Will there be an issue, something breaking? Yes. It's just what happens. But yeah, it's just it really was something that was unique and stood out to me more so than the other vehicles. Like, I've driven the ZR2 Colorado, I've driven the AT4X Canyon, and I wasn't as blown
away. Don't go crazy, Tim. Don't go crazy now.
I wasn't as blown away as I was at the Ranger. And part of that was the Ranger Raptor. And part of that's, you know, again, a price point. And I've been a little bit more
Let me add to that, Tim. So, price point of this thing. Now, we live in a world of everything is, like, for whatever reason, mid-sized trucks, for whatever reason, just went freaking through the roof.
Right.
And I've seen this for a year now. I mean, I've been covering the Ranger for 2 years. Like, I'm probably the only channel that was, like, focused on this little truck.
Right.
So I kind of knew from the Australian version what it was kind of going to cost here. And everybody, even back then, I remember people going, well, that truck's going to be $75,000. That's going to be a $75,000 Ranger Raptor, or, you know, the little truck. And we live in a world where, yes, 10 years ago, you could get a loaded vehicle for $35,000 in a midsize truck, and it was one hell of a truck. But we don't live 10 years ago. We live today. And unfortunately, I will say probably Toyota sets the bar. Toyota is the leader of midsize trucks. And if they say $50,000, you're damn right, everybody's going to go, hey, $50,000 sounds great to us. I mean, even hell, Nissan is like the Pro 4X of the frontier is now jumping up in price, even though it's probably one of the better bargains out there. But yes, that truck is getting expensive. So I want to bring this up while you were talking about this. And this is my window sticker of our Ranger.
Right.
So I got this the other day. And while you were talking about pricing, $58,000 is what mine's going to cost. Now, that sounds ridiculous. I remember the F-150, the first SVT Raptors going for $65,000-$70,000. And this was what, nine, I guess it was, and going, holy shit, man, that's a lot of money. But you're getting a lot of truckers. There's no options. They did everything. They just said, hey, you want stickers or bedliners, a couple of things. Well, you can add that. But for $58,000, the only thing I added was the sticker package, because I think when I want to get rid of it, I think that'll just help resell a little bit. And two, I want a bedliner because I will do truck things with this, and I expect the back end to look nice when I get rid of it. So $58,000, Tim.
Yeah. And I think even more than that is talking about how this is the same size as a full size truck really was 40 years ago.
Oh, right? I made a comment about that a couple days ago. Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, you're getting something that, I mean, the Ranger Raptor tows less, right? Or does it tow 7,000 as well?
No, 5,000 is what 5,000,
yeah. But I don't have my hard drive is full of the videos, but I can tell you, I looked at the payload numbers for all the trucks I drove, and the payload numbers were all 15,000, 16,000, maybe 14,000 or 1400, mm-hmm. excuse me, 1500, 1600. So the payload numbers were pretty good. You know, you look at the XLT, you get 7,500 pounds of towing, pretty good payload numbers. Will it tow a 30-foot camper? No, but you don't, it's a midsize truck. And so I just think that, you know, This is probably the answer to those people that are tired of driving.
Would you feel comfortable towing like a 16-foot trailer with a midsize truck?
It depends.
I'm sure it's dependent on which one.
Well, yeah, it depends. The trailer question is always so hard because it's so many different factors. Right. I would have no problem hauling a trailer that doesn't have lots of side profile. Okay. Side profile, like thing that I think with RVs. The side profile is so tall, that's get caught in the wind. Mm-hmm. Then you got a lot of movement because you don't have the length of the truck.
And well, you live out where somebody doesn't have trees, Tim. So you get a lot of crosswinds.
I get lots of crosswinds. Right. Lots of crosswinds. And I just feel like, well, like in your area, right? A semi passes you on the interstate.
Oh, 100%. You know, I had a Jeep, dude. You drive a Jeep next to a semi and you're like, whoa, we're going all over the place.
Yeah. So, I mean, that'd be my concern. I would tow. I always take these towing numbers and I just kind of toss them. This Ranger is a good small boat trailer, a small 16-foot camper. Like the towing we did was a little clamshell kind of style camper, and mm-hmm. so it was one of those 2-person things you call into. That had the right kind of profile that you could tow with it.
And the press events, for those that don't know, they're never going to give you a real world something to tow. They don't want their vehicle to ever look like it wasn't
right. Right. Yeah. So, I mean, I get a lot of feedback on my channel, and I'm sure you get on your channel too, about how trucks are getting so expensive and we don't need, you know, I don't need to tow 11,000 pounds of a half ton truck because that's just ridiculous. To me, that's scary. When people do that and post videos and that stuff, I'm just like, dude, that's scary. I would never do that. So I feel like the needs of the truck customer haven't really changed. They're still going to tow a midsize truck. They're going to look at it and go, that's going to tow my boat or whatever. They're not going to tow anything too massive with it. You can sit 4 people in it. There's a video with TFL and Auto Buyer's Guide, Alex Dykes. There's 4 people. There's photos, 4 of them in there. I believe it. I believe 4 guys fits in there. It's not a 5-person vehicle. The middle seat's stupid. So, and the bed was easy to get in out of. I was really impressed with the bed step.
Yes.
That kind of surprised me quite a bit. I thought GM's innovation was perfect. Built in a bumper, but mm-hmm. I kind of think Ford took it next level. And the bed step,
you get more step, you're getting
more step, and it's mounted to the frame.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's right. There's a brace that comes from the frame into it, right?
Right, yeah. So the GM step's in a bumper, so you have to reinforce the bumper. And behind the fender of the rear tire is kind of a dead zone, anyways. Remember the mm-hmm. you remember the old Nissan Titan had a little door there, a little storage door. Mm-hmm.
You remember the press video for that where the lady that helped that was the lead on that? She went to, they had a press video where they were going to construction sites. What do you need? You need these boxes and stuff. And then nobody used this stuff.
Yeah, no, but at least it was something. At least it was something.
Like the RAM boxes for me. RAM boxes are the dumbest thing ever, man.
Oh, I can't wait to use them. I would hurt my truck. I want to use them. I want to use them and see if they're useful. That's my thing. Like, what I actually use them. But yeah, so I thought that was clever. Not a copycat situation. I'm going to copy you, whatever. I just thought, you know what? They made that smart. And people talking about the comments about you need a 6-foot bed, need this bed, whatever. Guys, people buy crew cab 5-foot beds all the time. They just do. And it fits in the garage. The garageability is such a huge issue with midsize trucks. It's such a big deal. And people don't agree with me on this, and they think it's garbage, whatever. And then you go talk to any sort of person of any midsize truck, and the first thing I'll tell you, any engineer, any marketer, whatever, garageability. It's got 210 inches. 210 inches is about 17 and a half feet, and it's got to fit in the garage.
Yes. And I will say, I'm going to bring this up real quick because this is something I noticed from the press event. Well, let's see here. Push a button, right? And I'll bring this up because, once again, the Raptor doesn't get that, which is not like, you know, this is not, let's be honest, the Raptor is not a work truck, but right. it's a toy. But I think it pops up in here just a second. I stand next to the side of this thing. And I mean, look, I'm 5'8". Me and Tim are about the same height. That's above my shoulders, the back of this truck. Now, the normal Rangers are a little shorter, but they're still pretty high, man. So those steps are going to mean something.
Yeah, I was surprised that the steps are optional.
Like, really? I didn't realize that was an option.
Yeah, they told me it was optional. And I'm like, well, it should be standard. Yeah. Maybe I'm wrong, but I thought they said it was optional. Hmm.
It could be. I haven't dug into that. But like, look, like, this is me just standing next to this damn thing. Yeah. And I wish I would have got a video of me doing this with the normal Rangers, because now it was probably mid-chest, but it was still... You know, not all of us are 6'5". So,
and that's the thing that works out well with that sidestep is that you can get in the side and reach towards the middle of the back of the bed. I always call it Bermuda's triangle, right? So everything that you want disappears in the back middle part of the bed. Everything rolls back there, and then you got to go to Bermuda's triangle to get everything because it's buried back there.
Right. Another Dave says, "I love the ram boxes." Well, I'm sure I've just never had any. It just looks dumb to me. I'm sure having them would be like, "Oh yeah, this is real useful." But as somebody who, I'm not a big full size truck guy, so I probably, you know, I'm sure you could put your groceries or something in there. I don't know what you'd put in there, but it seems like with a topper, like the ram boxes wouldn't work well. But I'm just guessing.
Are you going to go down the shuttle anytime soon? Stop digging the hole.
No, I want to dig that. You know me, Tim. I'm going to dig the hole like to China and then keep running my mouth. So colors of this thing we mentioned earlier, kind of bland. What was there something on the exterior that you were just like, this brand did it better?
I think that I like the Colorado styling. I like the Canyon styling a lot. I think the baseboard Ranger styling is just kind of boring. It's nothing really there to exciting about. Reminds me more of like the Maverick kind of idea where it's just like, okay. But the utility is better, you know, capability is better. I think the Ford or the Ranger Raptor carries over the same FORD lettering. And I think that blends in the rest of Rangers, which is fine. I mean, that's what you'd want from it. But I just thought the exterior of the XLT was just, I mean, it's not nothing there. Thank you.
Hey man, I can't help my genetics. I didn't ask for these. It wasn't an option that I can add down the road.
My dad hit me on top of the head, kept me short. That's what happened.
Yeah, I pissed my dad off a lot. I seen from some of the videos that people got snow. You didn't seem to get the snow everybody else got.
No, the day after.
Yeah.
I got really lucky. So the storm that hit Denver,
stranded, though.
I was that close.
Yeah, for those that don't know, you know, Utah is next to Colorado, and well, Colorado got a shit ton of snow dumped on it.
So I got alerts from United saying you're not gonna make your flight. Checked other plans, and there is no other plans for me. There's like one or two flights a day to Scotts Bluff. Yeah. I was supposed to. I flew into Denver, got there a couple hours early, like I normally do. 4:30 flight from Denver to Scotts Bluff, Nebraska, and the pilot comes out and goes, "Hey, we got a problem with a valve. It's not working right. We need to get it fixed." Tell you what, thank goodness United's team maintenance. 10 minutes, they swapped it out, nice. Had a new part in there. Captain fires up, ready to go. We start leaving the airport, starting to rain on us. We take off. Best feeling in the world, right? I land in Scotts Bluff, and I get home, and I see my phone, and the snow is coming. The snow is hitting Denver. 802 flights canceled in Denver yesterday morning.
Wow!
I would, if I missed my flight, I'd been there. I would still be in Denver. I would actually have flown home Denver about an hour ago. I'd be there for 2 days.
Well, I know our buddy Corey with GT Garage, he coming from Nashville, just going back to Dallas, had a worse experience than
right. Not to go too much off topic, but the hilarious part with that story is he got stuck in Dallas. He lives in Tyler, Texas, which is literally like an hour and a half away. Yeah. And they told him it was gonna be a 6-hour layover in Dallas. Maybe he makes it home. So his wife and kid drove up and picked him up and carried him back home.
Still made two better hours. Yeah.
Yeah. So that, I mean, that's happened to events. Like you do all this stuff and like, my fear on these press trips is always, did the audio come through? And I'm always like, and you can't check where you're filming, right? You just start filming. Like, boom. So like, imagine you arrive, pull your camera out and just start filming right away. And I'm always concerned about the audio. And then a lot of stuff in post editing, I can fix by just doing a voiceover. Or I just put myself in the camera and say, hey, I screwed this up. And I did a little video here, put it in there. But yeah, if you don't capture that audio right, and that's always my fear. So I went back to the hotel room that night and like click play on a bunch of stuff, made sure I had everything. But I think you guys are going
to
love it.
Mics I keep trying to put you on, they record audio separately too. So just in case.
Right. So the Rode mic, I should turn on the audio for that too. I learned that one too. But
that is paranoia though. Ooh, for those not paranoia. That don't understand, you get invited like a once in a lifetime to explore this truck. And then you get there and you hear.
Yeah. And, like, and you can't. Yeah. So, I mean, I would, if I was a person looking for the Ford Ranger, I'd be really excited right now because
everybody that's been waiting is what you're saying. Cause the order banks opened up in May of last year.
Right. And you know, and then, you know, the thing is like Ford had UAW issues. They've had quality issues they're trying to correct. I mean, there's been a lot of obstacles bringing this truck to the marketplace. There really has. And
I don't think the customers necessarily understand that the UAW strike, you do not realize. And I don't care if you're pro or against, that's your opinion, but facts are the truck was supposed to go through trial periods, which was where they build a couple. They're trying to learn how to piece it together, get all the computers right when the damn strike hit. So they had to get this truck in production the 1st of January. They didn't get back going to the 1st of December. So they cranked it out to get this truck on the market, which sucks because I, like everybody, was hoping by November I would have seen my truck.
I would have too. It would have been great for the ad rates in the fourth quarter, but that's not
what I'm going to get it when they're in the worst rates.
I would be, if I was a Ford Ranger person looking for this truck, I'd be super excited for Tuesday because not only do myself and a lot of outlets will have the same, you know, we'll have content, but you know, I have the 2.3 driving it around. I have fuel economy numbers for you on my drive. I have
really a separate video.
Yeah, I clicked reset button on the thing. I drove uphill, downhill at speed. I missed my turn. And did some highway driving because I missed the driver a little bit. And that was perfect. I was doing 70 miles an hour. I did a passing maneuver from 55 to 70. It's a really interesting video on that because I was like, why not just slow down and see how it gets around vehicles? That part of that driving video is going to be really cool. I have the separate video will be towing. The towing will be really interesting, I think, for a lot of people. The Ranger Raptor stuff is going to be cool to watch. You'll get both Jill and I's take on that. And so I'm really, really excited about that. And I have to tell you, I don't think it's driving impressions. I think I can tell you this, is that the Ford Ranger has the backup assist like the F-150 has, like the Super Duty's got.
The trailer assist backup assist,
yeah. Right? You turn the dial and the steering wheel turns itself, whatever. And then a demo with that versus a 2024 Tacoma. And I know Alex Dykes has the interior walk around both of them. But I was funny because they're like, all right, we're going to back these trailers up. So I back up the Ranger with a set of Ski-Doos on that one or something like that, a little small trailer. And I use the trailer thing, and the guy guides me through, and I make him hold the camera because I'm like, just stop talking. I know I've owned Fords. I know how this works, right? So I back thing up, and I think I didn't pull forward once, just backed right up to the spot. And then I'm like, all right, let's get in Tacoma. So I do the same thing in Tacoma. Well, I've been backing up trailers for years now. So I took my hand and bottled the steering wheel. I'm like, so I'm like doing the wax on, wax off thing, right?
Yeah.
And we're driving backwards, and like, I think I had to go forward one time at Tacoma, and then I come back and there's a little flag we hit, right? Mm-hmm. And I think I was looking at me, and I'm like, I'm backing up, like, whatever. And I'm literally like doing this thing. And I'm like, yeah, you know, I think the Ford is better with the backup trailer thing because it makes it a little easier. You have to do this kind of thing. And that's what I'm saying on camera. And it is. I mean, look, I've been backing up camera trailers for a long period of time. The backup trailer assist, but it is great technology. And there are certain trailers it works out well for. And I think for people that don't tow very often, it's a great option. For guys that tow a lot, you're not going to use it, right? When I had my Ford, I had only used it on a short bed, single axle Chevy truck bed trailer I have outside. Because that thing, you look at it, it jacks knives. I can't. When it's empty, I just unhook it. I pick it up and I drag it where I want to and I drop it because it's impossible to back up. Right. So, I mean, that's the only time I used it, but it was just so funny. I just had to laugh myself because I'm like, yeah, you know, I think the force a little bit easier. I think I don't need to do as much of this input.
I'm excited to use that because that's a feature I've never got to try. I've never got to try the little dial deal. Mm-hmm. And I'm excited by it. And I'm surprised the Raptor gets that. I'm very surprised that the Raptor
gets surprised. That well. I was surprised how much. So I had said to Don McKenzie, who's the head of trucks for communication Ford, I have never been to a mid-sized truck event that had towing in it.
You've made that comment many times on your own show of talking about they just never let us tow with mid-sized trucks.
And this is the first time ever. And yeah, we towed 3,000 pounds. Like it's nothing like driving I know about. But she goes, well, we did in 2016. Maybe we just didn't know you back then. I'm like, well,
Hi, Don. Hi, Don. You're in one of my videos.
Yeah, you get a good thing. But yeah, I was surprised at the towing. And
Load up your questions because Tim's going to be out here in a few minutes, and I want to get Tim's to answer your questions. Go ahead, Tim. Sorry.
Yeah, no. I just thought it was just interesting that they let us tow.
You know, the biggest thing is, Tim, I don't think people realize it, but one of your biggest videos is this one right here, and that is that looks like to be a Ford Ranger. So I think there's a Ranger crowd out there that's excited to see whether Tim sticks his finger up or down. Like this is suddenly this is Gladiator where it's like
I'm still shocked at that video.
So, I know, I remember you telling me about that because me and Tim will talk shop all the time, and Tim's like, I just did a video, like I didn't expect it to blow up.
No, so I mean, if you don't know the story behind that one, that was the 2019. It was like the first year of the Ford Bronco or Ford Ranger coming back. And I had gotten that 6 months after the press drive. I had gotten that like months late. The dealerships already had them in dealership lots. Like I was like, what am I going to do with this damn thing? And there's my big shorts and my great outfit. But I was like, well, so I did a five good things, five bad things, literally just cut and paste, not cut and paste, but just chop, chop, chop. Here's the point. Just cut it like this and just went through it. And, that thing blew apart. Like I did not realize, and I haven't seen this video in years. And I wish I would have worn different shorts. I wish I would have. I had an elbow. My elbow was hurting me, so I had the gold bar elbow thing at the time. But yeah, the best part of this video is when I dropped the tailgate. It just goes thud, and I was like, for this amount of money, that sucks. And I cut right there. Like, it just totally cut. I don't know. How much B-roll did I put in this damn thing? Oh my goodness. I don't know, people are watching so much B-roll. But, yeah,
it just showed a shifter. That's the one thing that about the Ranger that it has that I like better than the Raptor is I don't like the E-shifter or whatever they call it, the little mouse.
The shifter is weird. And Jill and I talked about that as well. They we kept.
Man, that's a lot of B-roll, Tim.
I know. I need to cut the B-roll.
That's why we kept
pressing the wrong button. Yeah, we kept pressing the wrong button, putting it in gear. Okay, so this is my garage. Is actually clean that day. Wow, look at that.
That's when I put the little get in yours. I can't even get in mine.
Oh, yeah. I clean my garage. I'm pretty adamant about parking a vehicle. One, it's a two-car garage. Never has two cars in it. No, always one. But yeah, so I mean, that was... Wow, that's a throwback. I feel old now with that video. Thank you for that. I don't know how people watch that many of those that video because that was really not well
edited. That video, Tim, has 618,000 views.
I know.
Guys, on a good day, I can get 10,000 views. That has 680. I'm going to put a link into this. So if you guys want to, especially on your channel, if you want to poke fun at Tim a little bit, and see how much how well he's improved. Here's the link to that one. So watch that after the show.
I had a guy one time went back, watched one of my videos, and he comes back and he comments some of the old videos. And he comes back to recent one and goes, man, you've improved. I'm like, yeah. I'm like, Woo, practice makes perfect.
I remember that video is nuts, man. Cause Tim's on the hunt for a million view video, which some channels, like there's some weird channels out there that get million view videos and you're like, they didn't say anything. And then you get a good channel like yours that really you're a truck guy and you're passionate about it and really talk truck stuff. And then, I mean, that's still, I'm sure you wouldn't turn that down now, right?
No. I just crazy to me that it's like, you're right. I can't get a million view video and I don't know what I'm doing wrong. And the videos go out to 15, 20,000. They die. They go 30,000.
You know what you did wrong? It's called shorts. And that wasn't you. That was YouTube.
Yeah. So shorts have killed a lot of things. Shorts are bad.
Yes. Definitely. Like if you guys have any comments, definitely ask Tim. He's he can't tell you how it drove, which I'm assuming it drove like a truck, like a good driving truck. So we'll say that, I assume. But I've never, honestly, out of all the midsize trucks now, I haven't driven any that are like, man, this is a pile of shit. This thing's all over. Well, the Gladiator, which I still like. I appreciate the Gladiator for what it is, but that's not, doesn't drive like a truck. That drives like a Wrangler that's got a truck bed. I'm pretty excited. I hope to see a video from you down the road of where, because you've been in the new Tacoma. Obviously, you got to drive two trims of the Ranger. I would like to see, like, you did a video a couple of years ago where you kind of showed towing of all the major brands.
Yeah,
I don't want to see you tow with this one, but damn, I would love to see your impressions. It'd be about a 30-minute video, but I would love to see your impressions of like all the trucks.
Yeah, and that's low hanging fruit for me, and I should really do it. And I've done some.
Stuff the older like you that. Get, the lower that fruit gets. By the way,
right? I need to do more of that stuff because I think people do find that valuable. That I can talk about what stood out to me, what stood out to them, and they can take, you know, a lot of times they'll walk away and go, well, I don't agree with Tim about this, this, and this, but at least I got them thinking about different things. And that's, you know, and at the end of the day, it's about being an informed consumer, which I've talked about many times. James Houston's comment, that's freaking hilarious. He says, how to get a million view video. I know how to do it. Get a Cybertruck and jump it like Street Speed 717. Yes.
Oh, God, that guy, man.
Yeah, I don't want to get the entertainment.
That video still pisses me off because when the TRX came out, Ram went out of their way to get him a truck because if you guys don't know, he's over a couple million followers. And they went out of their way. And I thought it was so disrespectful to the people that manufactured that vehicle. If you don't know, he jumps it, destroys the vehicle. He didn't do it on purpose, I know, but just the stupidity.
It just was such immaturity. I don't think there's a stop sale in the Colorados, by the way. I think.
Yeah, I was going to ask that. I
feel like there was for a minute. There was for a minute, but I feel like the update has been there. They're starting to put them out. I don't.
You know what's funny?
There's a software issue that they had to install in the factory. It took 30 minutes per truck. And then once they got through that backlog, I think they were starting to put them out there.
Well, there was a rumor going around with Ranger that there was some software issues they were having, which is might have been part of the delay, which I can't confirm nor deny. I've not gotten any confirmation on that, and I have reached out about it. That maybe that's part of it. Like I've told everybody, press trips usually they don't release vehicles till after press trips. There are a few trickling out now.
I think it was just a fact of UAW strike, suppliers behind, timing. Because you can't just go, okay, we'll start releasing trucks like you said. You got to build up, right? So you build a bunch of them. You send them marketing. You send them the PR, right? You do the press drive. You get the marketing, does all the videos for commercials. Then you release the vehicles. Then you release the embargo. That all starts hitting. Then people start getting them from the dealerships. And then you start, the marketing starts going. I mean, this is not like it's just thrown out there. It's this planned out. You have to plan things out. You can't just launch a new vehicle with no paparazzi.
Whistling Diesel. He literally lives down the road from me.
Whistling Diesel does?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Another guy I can't. I'm not bagging on those guys. They're pretty smart guys. I think smart people. I just can't do the videos.
The thing I respect about those, him in particular, is he really doesn't give a shit. He's just having fun. And obviously he has money to have fun with some expensive vehicles. But like, and then when he was like taking those brodozers and just shredding them, I loved it, man. It was funny to me. I don't watch it all. I am interested in his killdozer videos right now, but that's because I'm a crazy dude. A couple more questions for Tim. Let's see. This one's for me. Dave, did you get your Ford Ranger Raptor? No, I have not yet. My Raptor doesn't get built till Tuesday. And I will say I'll be in Detroit Tuesday, but we'll leave it at that. So interesting. Dun, dun, dun. That's right. I have to drive up. I have to drive to Detroit, Tim. I'm being the common man. I couldn't afford the flights. $500. This channel doesn't make that but kind of money. I don't make last minute kind of Southwest flight money.
The only reason I make flights work like that is because I have hundreds of thousands of air miles.
Well, I'm getting there. Guys, if you would smash on, I don't care where you're watching, go ahead and smash that like button. Tim would appreciate it. It would probably make Tim, when he goes to his recliner, feel a little bit better if you smash the like button for him. Tim, what's coming up on your channel, man? Clearly you've got, you're big into the Ram truck scene now, which is like,
yeah, crazy. And people always ask me, I have ordered a Ram truck. I didn't have an update. I haven't heard anything about it. We have a lot of stuff actually going on. I'm going to do that Ranger walk around tomorrow. I'm going to get this damn Rebel video out on Sunday. Monday I'm going to be writing and editing and doing a bunch of stuff. Jill and I may do a live stream. I don't know. It may be too busy. Because Tuesday the Hyundai Santa Fe drops as well.
Ooh, I know that was in Nashville. Damn it.
Right.
I got to get in with Hyundai.
So the Hyundai Santa Fe, what's on tap tonight? I have a beer actually. Whiskey's not being my friend lately. I wish I had some.
Hey, for me, it's a single barrel Jack. I bought this when Tim was in. I told Tim, I said, I'm buying me a single barrel because you're pissing me off because you're having all the fun. I'm not.
I'm also trying to cut down on my whiskey drinking and overall drinking. So I'm trying to manage the calories a little bit, which is tough, really tough. But anyways, not drinking related stuff. Hyundai Santa Fe on Tuesday, Ford stuff on Tuesday, the Ranger stuff. Thursday's Ranger Raptor. That's going to be a big day for that. Friday news recap. And then I got to find something next weekend. I may do some comparison build and price and comparison like driveline, the Golf 4 like you talked about. Yeah. And I need to work on this. I have a heavy-duty reliability information that I've been sitting on. I need to get that written up and get that done.
I have to say, I pulled this up. Rum and Sprite. That just sounds interesting. I've never had that. I'm going to try that. Combo. That is, but I'm going to go Sprite, no sugar, whatever it is, Sprite Zero. Yeah, yeah. I have to call out Tim, our Raptor, who's one of our huge fans. He's got his Raptor should be shipping. So, and my gentleman here is out on a oil rig. Oh. So he watches our channels out in the middle of the ocean. So, and can you imagine
wow,
ordering your dream truck or whatever it might be? You're a rigger that's out because, you know, they're out for 25 days or something at a time. You find out that it's delivered and you're like,
you're out on the
I'm out here for 15 more days.
Oh, my goodness. Well, first of all, tip my hat to you working on an oil rig. That's impressive. I like watching. I was just actually watched Armageddon today. So I was like thinking of oil rigs, but it's impressive work. Can I say it's fast? Yes. I can say it's fast. I can say, and I would also caveat there, driver dependent, right? So, I mean, yeah, as long as you know how to make them.
I have to show this before we go because I'm sure Ford shot this photo for you. But let me pull this up here because Tim got to do a little jumpies with it. Not too crazy there, but you did a little jump skis with it.
Well, so what we were talking about this behind the scenes, what you don't realize that jump is actually it's higher off the ground than you realize.
Because 100%.
It's so weird because in the photo you're like, oh, I'm like this much off the ground, right? But you don't realize that tires fall as you're jumping up. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so the funny part of that story, and I'll tell this last story before we go. Allison is a rider who's with she buys cars. She's pretty new to the scene. And she was here and I were talking, we rode a shuttle over, and we get to the event. And she had not done much off-roading. And they said, okay, we're going to go jump this. And her eyeballs got about this big. And she's like, we're doing what? And I said, yeah. And so she's like really nervous, right? And so she gets in the truck and we get the Hans device on and the helmet, right? So keeping your head secure. And I talked a little bit about it. I was like, you know, jumping is not a big deal. It's fine. And this guy behind me, who's just a turd, is like, I hate it. Worst thing ever. Stomach is in his throat. It's terrible. And I'm like, what this guy? I'm like, finally, I was like, are you fun at parties? Because you're probably not, right? So deal with this guy. Because I'm like, stop being that way. And so you're freaking her out. So she jumps, and then I find her at the event as she's leaving. And I walked up and I say, hey. And she goes, what? She get in the truck. I said, no. I said, how was the jump? She goes, oh, it was fun. I said, no. How was the jump? Did you enjoy it? She goes, Oh yeah, that was something. She goes, that was something. Yeah, because you know you're like lining this thing up, and they're right there getting you kind of lined up. And they're like, hey, you know, can do this jump, can do this, I can do it. You're talking about it. You're like, you know, and you're just like, okay, ready to go, go. And it's like, oh my gosh, it's just.
Can I ask what your speed was roughly there?
Oh, you know, they didn't give us a speed to hit.
No, I didn't know if you happened to notice.
40 to 50. Yeah, because okay. it was a short, it was maybe an eighth of a mile for a turn. Then you went down the hill and you went up this hill. So yeah. we weren't going that fast, which is actually good, because the other part of that track you don't see is about 30 feet away is a big turn. Mm. So you can't carry that much speed because you need to slow down to make the turn.
Yeah, I will say when I covered the Raptor in Vegas, the Bronco Raptor, the course they used there was not this defined, because I was literally the first group to do it. Yeah. So you didn't exactly know. It was a nightmare to hit speed because you're like, I did the they had like a little Baja or
right.
The cross,
the handling course of Baja. Yeah,
and I couldn't. I felt bad because I wanted to give it more, but I couldn't tell where I was driving. So I'm happy to see like there at least was a path. Was this the same place they do the Ford F-150, the Raptor Attack or whatever they call it?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. And it's a desert property. You can tell they just built a new building out there, and they're just mm-hmm. they're working on it. It's something in the evolution, but
I have a feeling. Cool. I have a feeling they'll do something fun for the Raptors, for the trucks. They do seem to do for every other Raptor. So, I'll be excited. Maybe Ford will invite me to that one. So, Tim, I greatly appreciate you coming on here and telling us what you could. Right. If you guys are, you're on my channel, clearly you have to know Tim, because Tim's been a great mentor to me. So we always like to talk to Tim and have him on the channel. If you're on Tim's side, come smash the subscribe button for me. It doesn't cost you a penny. You know, I want one of them silver play buttons like Tim has, and I'm not nowhere close to it yet. But I did see out of the world, I am ranked number 3,000 something in the world of subscribers, believe it or not. So not everybody can hit 10,000. So it's pretty impressive that Tim's done that. Especially knowing Tim, is really impressive. So guys, in the comments below, whether you're watching this on replay, leave us a comment. I know Tim's good about checking his comments. I am as well. And whether it be two-wheel drive, four-wheel drive, it does not matter what you drive as long as you're in a kick-ass Ford for me. Tim?
We will see you down the road.
Peace, everybody.